think.
Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, business, financial, entertainment, and networking needs. Big here. I'm co-hosting the night. Mary the Encourager, she is going to be our number one. Mary, are you there?
Here I am. And I would like to thank all of you for your continued support and for spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today? This is your co-host today, none other than Mary the Encourager. And I can't wait to get started. So, Big, are you ready for us to introduce our Big Thinker for the night?
Oh, yes, definitely. I've talked to her a couple of times, and she just blows my mind with how she does things and how powerful of a speaker she is.
Well, tonight our guest is none other than Dale Klein. And before we get started, I'd like to ask our guest if she would share with us some contact information for our listeners who might be listening right now. What is your website, your email, contact number, so that our listeners would be able to reach you if they have any questions at another time?
That's a great idea, Mary. Thank you for asking. And my website can be visited by going online to www.profitablespeech.com. So again, it's profitablespeech, all one word, .com. But my phone number is 518-664-6004. Again, that's 518-664-6004 for any future questions that people may wish to pose to me. Or by email, I can be reached, Mary, at Dale, that's D like David, A-L-E, at ProfitableSpeech.com.
Thank you so much. Now, I want you to tell us a little about yourself, but I just want to intrigue our audience a little bit by letting them know that you are a speech and public speaking coach, and you're going to share with us some tips for improving day-to-day communications and that biggie, how to manage those fears of public speaking. So I know our listeners will want to know that, but let's start off with you telling me a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks for asking. I always think it's good to get to know people and have people get a sense of who they're listening to. So that's a great way to start. I am a native New Yorker and very proud of that, although I have spread my wings, although I started out in New York and spent most of my life there, I did move out to the West Coast. I was actually in California for at least a good 8-year period. And I was out there because I was going to graduate school at the time and decided that I also wanted to get into my profession, which at the time was speech and language pathology, a little different than what I'm doing now. But I did spend that period of time out there and got a real sense of a whole different culture. And while it was a great experience, and I'm very glad that I did it, I also had a yen to come back to my roots. So I have been back in New York actually since 1985. So this really feels like home to me. And I'm very, very passionate about what I do. I think I'm a passionate person in general and really throw my heart and soul into everything. It's hard for me not to. So I like to give 110%, if you will. And I believe in doing that in my personal life as well as in my professional life. And when I'm not working, I enjoy a great movie, love going to the movies and getting very caught up in a good story. I also enjoy traveling and learning as much as I can. I think there's so much to learn out there, and any opportunity I can do that, whether it is through books or by listening to people or going to lectures, whatever it is, I'm usually up for that.
You know, that's very interesting. We share quite a few similar interests there. And I just think about some of the people who will say to me, you always quoting some book or you found that in a book. And my question to them is, doesn't everybody? So I love a person who loves books and loves learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Dale, one of the things I noticed that you said was that you like to listen to lectures. Do you think that also listening to people who may have to lecture, whether it's an audience a small audience or a business lecture, that can also help us and learning proper public speaking?
That's a great question. I'm so glad that you presented that, because I do think that that's, in fact, one way to do that. If you're somebody who is able to learn through what's called an auditory mode, or by picking up information that you hear, then yes, you absolutely can. And I find that I use that opportunity really for a twofold purpose. First, of course, is to learn. There's so much out there that we can absorb and that we can use to complement what we already know or to intrigue us about a whole new area. But for me, I also look at it as an opportunity to observe and pay very close attention to how others communicate so that I can see what areas I may want to add to my own repertoire of skills. But also I will notice certain things that perhaps I want to be sure that I don't include. So I use it really on both ends of the spectrum, if you will.
Wow, I love how you bring that out, because what that not only shows and lets our listeners know is that even though you're what we like to call at the top of your game, you still realize that there's always room for improvement. And that's what big thinkers are all about, is about improving themselves on a constant basis.
Mm-hmm.
Please share more with us.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, Dale, how did you turn your passion into a workable business?
Well, I'm one of those people, and maybe some of our listeners can appreciate this, who has always been in search of what I really want to do when I grow up. I wish that I had known what I wanted to do years ago, but I don't think it's so uncommon to take a few different turns in the road. And I started out in one profession. I was a speech and language clinician, which really means, Mary, that what I did was I dedicated my career to helping people who have some type of a communication disorder. And I worked largely in the medical field and healthcare arena. And it's an outstanding profession, and I have a great deal of respect for it. But sometimes what happens is when we make certain decisions, we ultimately learn more about ourselves. And that's what happened to me. As I was in that profession, I realized that it was not really ideal for fulfilling some of my needs professionally and personally. And so I began that search and started looking for other opportunities. And that led me down a pathway where I ultimately shifted gears and I went into management within the healthcare arena again. So I kept the industry the same, but I really changed what my function and what my role was. And one more time again, I found that I was able to succeed because I was very dedicated and wanted to make a difference. And I do consider myself a big thinker. So that's why I love the name of this show and the whole concept behind it. So I was able to do that. I was able to grow in that profession. But yet again, I realized at the end of the day that it just wasn't enough for me. And I'm somebody who was always looking for what else might there be. And through those two career choices, what I did learn was the tremendous power of communication and how often it fails us in day-to-day situations. And I found that more and more this really was something that attracted me. So I started to learn more about it. I started to explore more about it, went back to school, took additional courses, and ultimately started to see that where I could make a real difference was by consulting with people in more of a coaching or training role. And that for me was a defining moment where I decided to take a leap of faith and go out on my own.
That is quite a leap, and we meet many people who do that. But, you know, I want to ask you about that, because I have so many people who ask me, how do I start my own business?
Mm-hmm.
So when you've been used to being in that medical or clinical type of environment, even in the management and administration side of it, that must take a lot of a thought to decide that you're just going to call your own shot.
Mm-hmm.
How did you make that transition?
I can tell you this. I don't feel it was easy at all. And
okay.
So I have great compassion and understanding for people who still hold on to a lot of fear about that, a lot of uncertainty. I don't think that ever goes away. And when we're used to working in a very traditional model, and by traditional I mean your basic 9-to-5 job, working Monday through Friday or maybe even working 6 days a week and getting that paycheck every 2 weeks or on some regular cycle, boy, we get used to that. And it's really tough to let go and walk away from that, because once you make the leap of owning your own business, you have more uncertainty than you ever dreamed possible. But what I came to realize was that we have to commit to what we're passionate about. I did not want to be the type of person who had years and years go by and ultimately stayed in a conservative work model, but then turned around and said, gee, I wonder what it would have been like had I made that leap. I did not want to cheat myself. So I really did a lot of thinking around this. I talked to a lot of different people. I spoke to business owners. And I took what I think was a conservative but well-thought-out approach. And this approach might not work for others, but for me, it did work. And it was really, I'll tell you exactly what it was. If there's nothing magical about it, and certainly it was not something that I consider any sign of brilliance, to me it was common sense. And
wow.
Here's what happened. I looked at my existing job, and I thought, well, I can make this as good as possible. It's not ideal, but I'll make it as good as I can make it. And while this is happening, what if I start to put my big toe in the water and start to develop a business on the side and not have it interfere with my day-to-day obligations? And that's exactly what I did. So weekends and evenings, where I was not committed to my full-time job, I began to hang out my own shingle. I started to let people know on a small scale that I was opening up a small practice. And it was something that I really watched very carefully, and I observed to see how was I doing, who was I attracting to this business. And ultimately, it started to grow incrementally until it got to a point where I felt it was safe enough to give up the traditional job and go that complete, cross over the line completely and say, okay, this is what I do. This is my new identity. But that process, you know, took several years.
Mm-hmm.
You
well,
know,
actually, I think
I'm
that
glad.
Is brilliant that, you know,
thank
they
you.
Consider it, you said, common sense. But for a lot of people, they don't listen to their common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the brilliance is in acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Big. Go ahead.
Well, that's exactly what I mean. I mean, it was something where, as you said, you wanted to get your toe wet. But even though you knew at this point here that you had to have that catch up, every day, every week, you did a little bit toward your business that enabled you to just embrace it totally, and now it takes care of you. And one of the things that we try to get across on Think Big Radio is that you have to start where you are. And if you need more education, go out and get more education. But the thing is, like Mary commented, as you've shown, is you've taken action, because it's not just enough to think big. It's also, you have to also take action to follow that big thinking.
Yes, 100% right on that.
Now, one of the things that I'd like to ask you is that, now, we all know that a lot of people, when they're public speaking, you have some that stand still, they're, you know, actually emotionless and motionless, and then you have some who are all over the stage or the platform. And what do you think about nonverbal communication? I mean, how important is that in public speaking?
Nonverbal communication is absolutely pivotal to being an effective communicator. In fact, Big, it constitutes probably between 70 to 80% of the effectiveness of your message. That's how important it is.
Wow, that is important.
Mm-hmm. Because you see, when we speak, unlike what would seem to be the case, that really it emanates from our mouth, that's actually not true. I believe, and this is one of the philosophies that I use with my clientele to ensure that they're successful, what I tell them is speaking is a head-to-toe experience. In other words, you want to speak with your entire body. That's where the passion comes from. Whereas we've all seen on this call, the three of us, I'm sure, have heard or observed people who speak only at the level of the mouth. And
yes,
that's not really the whole picture. That's not thinking big. That's not speaking big.
Now, can you give us an example of someone who may not have been as aware of that head-to-toe experience and how you were able to help them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are many examples, so let me try and think of the best example for you. Well, here's one that comes to mind. One of the clients that I've had over the years that I've been in business was someone who was in the clergy. And this was a first for me. I was asked by a religious services committee, and even that was new for me. This is a religious services committee within a particular church in the area in which I'm located, and they spoke to me about working with the clergy at their particular church. And the reason they said this was, wait, they consider their church a business, which made a lot of sense to me. And they were looking to grow the congregation. They felt that this was very important in order for them to thrive and to be able to meet the needs of the community. It made perfect sense. But the dilemma, as they saw it, was the communication style of the reverend in this case. And so they asked me if I would want to work with him. And I said, well, let me speak with him first and get a sense of what his perception is about this. And he was actually very interested, but he was, I think, intrigued by how this would actually come about, what would happen. And so I made it really simple for him. I said, well, what are you doing next Sunday? And he chuckled. And he said, what do you mean? Will you actually come and hear a sermon? I said, well, I think that's the best way. I like to see people in action. And he said, okay, fine. So he invited me to attend. And so I positioned myself strategically so that I could observe him from head to toe. And after the first meeting was over, we agreed that we would meet up again face-to-face and that I would share my observations with him. And that includes everything. I leave no stone unturned. And that includes all the things that my client is doing well. That's where I like to start. Let people know their strengths first and then move to areas for development. So the answer to the question is that in his particular case, what I said to him was this. I said, well, I have two questions for you. First of all, is speaking in the church and being in your current role, is this a change of profession for you? And he said, yes.
Wow.
I said, okay, my second question is, was the first profession an engineer? And he said, Dale, you're scaring me. The answer is yes. And that, Mary and Big, was the problem. That when he spoke, it was more coming just from his head, meaning it was very cerebral, it was very intellectual. But he did not make use of the rest of his body. He used virtually no nonverbal language. And so he was very closed, and he became very small. And actually, in stature, he was a very diminutive person. He probably stood not much taller. I think he was maybe only a couple of inches taller than I am, which means he was about 5'4", and very slight build. And he was virtually lost in the pulpit. You really couldn't get a sense of him because there was no nonverbal. There was not a nonverbal component.
Wow, Dale. I'm just thinking, just from you telling us this story, that even as their church wanted to grow, that would kind of be a hindrance to even their growth. So I can see the many different ways you're able to help this congregation.
Right, right. Yeah, it was a very, very exciting opportunity and one where we were able to make very significant changes thanks to his commitment and hard work and dedication.
Well, I think that's an excellent story because it covers so many different areas. I noticed that your title was Corporate Communications and Speech Specialist.
Right.
But I'm glad you chose that particular one because it shows it's not just corporate in terms of a Fortune 500 company.
No.
But just business, just the business of a person being able to do better.
Right. The business of getting your message out there, whatever that message happens to be.
The business of getting your message out.
Okay. Right.
And you say that everything you say is a form of public speaking.
I believe it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And that surprises people, you know, because many times I will meet people for the first time, and they can be a little intimidated when they find out what I do for a profession, and I totally understand that. It doesn't surprise me. I like to try and put people at ease, so I really don't use a title when I meet people. Instead, I will really talk about the benefits of the work that I do. I think that's more important anyway. But once we do get to know one another, or if they do choose to use my services, what I explain is that, you know, people will say to me, well, I'm not sure I really even need your services because I don't do a lot of public speaking. And that to me is the first clue. And my response to that is typically, well, I don't want to sound a little too vague here or a little tongue-in-cheek, but do you find that you move your mouth or you move your lips during the day? And they'll chuckle, and they say, well, yes. And I said, well, then, if there's somebody listening and you're moving your lips and something's coming out of your mouth, that's public speaking. And the point being, you can have one person listening or you can have thousands of people listening. That is irrelevant. It's that you have a message and it needs to get from you to somebody else. You need to send it and somebody needs to receive it. And if that's happening or if that's your goal, then that's public speaking.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Bill, before we get any further, can you please let our listeners know how they can reach you?
Certainly, I'd be happy to do that. I think the best way, or there are several ways, I should say, they can certainly email me if they wish, and that would be Dale, D like David, A-L-E, at profitablespeech.com. Happy to answer any emails. However, I always enjoy hearing the human voice. There's no replacement for that, and my phone number is 518, area code, 664-6004, 518-664-6004.
Now, Dale, I want to take you to a couple of places. I want to talk a moment about remote communications and also about electronic technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm particularly interested in this. If you have to deal with any of our young people, and I happen to have a daughter who's in her early 20s,
mm-hmm.
I find that she would prefer to communicate remotely
mm-hmm.
with electronics.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you to talk with us a bit about, given the electronic technology that we have available, how important is it to develop your speaking skills? And also, on the other hand, those people who are very good at using electronic technology, how can they improve?
Mm-hmm. Mary, I would say that given our age of electronic technology and communication, now more than ever, it is of paramount importance to be a very effective speaker. It always has been important. That importance will never go away. But with the advent of BlackBerries, Palm Pilots, cell phones, etc., email, it is more important than ever. And simply, the reason for it is this. Electronic technology affords us many luxuries and many efficiencies of communication, and I will never take that away from electronic technology because I, too, am a user of it. However, what has happened is that with the proficiency that people have developed in using electronic technology, we now often find, and I don't want to label particular generations because I think it really is more a function of the person, not so much their age.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happens is that we have become addicted to communicating with equipment. And what happens there is two things. Number one, communication becomes impersonalized. That's very dangerous. We've lost a personal touch, and we can never afford to lose that. Secondly, the more reliant and proficient we become on gadgetry and various electronic pieces of equipment, the more we tend to lose our skills in verbal communication. It's like anything, you know, if we're learning a second language, if we're learning to dance, play golf, play the piano, you name it. If we don't keep up with that skill, at some point it begins to wane. Speaking is no different. So I think that what we can do is continue to use electronic technology with the caveat, and this is really important for all the listeners out there, to use it judiciously. And simply that means make decisions wisely about when you should use it and when you should not. Take the time to make that distinction. Too often we don't. That's the problem. We have a knee-jerk reaction. Well, I'll just send that email out there. Well, I'll just text message somebody. But that doesn't always work, and it really oftentimes is not suitable.
Very good. Very good point. I'm glad that you actually pointed to a couple of items, like you talked about emailing and texting. The remote communications that you had mentioned when we first met you, you talked about the phone,
mm-hmm.
radio, podcasting, webinars, and teleclasses.
Right.
As some forms of remote communication. I know a number of schools are using it. Even we're using it tonight to
yes.
be able to interview across the radio and across the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So could you speak a bit about using your voice like an instrument and how mm-hmm. it relates to this remote communication?
Sure I can. We just spoke about some of the downsides of electronic technology and the loss of the personal touch. But like with everything or most things in life, I believe we can always look at two sides of the coin. And so I don't want to be remiss in doing that this evening. So now let's look at the upside. Because we have the ability to extend our reach and connect with people on different continents, we want to take advantage of that because we've never had that luxury before, and it is tremendous, both on a personal level as well as in business. Many of my clients are international clients, and so certainly from a global perspective, it makes good business sense. So over the years that I've been in business, in wanting to stay current and in wanting to be able to assist clients who may not have the ability to come and visit with me in my office or who may not have the ability to pay for my way to come and visit them if they're, you know, in an extended area, we do and can take advantage of tools like having a teleclass, which would be very similar to what we're doing right now, using the vehicle of the phone to convey information. Okay, and that's not, that actually isn't anything new. I think there's just more of that, but that's not all that new. But what is new is being able to conduct something like a webinar. And I have to tell you that I have come to totally embrace and value this technology. In fact, for many of my professional clients on a corporate level, I will conduct webinars on a fairly consistent basis. And what that means is every other month. And a webinar, let me define that in case anyone is unfamiliar with that. It's very simple. It's a combination of a seminar and the internet and blending those two together so that you're conducting training over the internet and your viewer would see a PowerPoint presentation or anything else you want them to see for that matter. At the same time, though, they're also using the telephone. So they're hearing your voice, and that's where you get to use your voice like an instrument, but you're also giving them the advantage of seeing content. So it's the blending of both. That's your webinar. Now, then that's a great way to work because it's very cost-effective for people. They don't have to travel anywhere, And it's also very productive use of time, because as soon as the webinar concludes, guess what? They hang up the phone and they log off the computer and they're right back at their desk able to go to another appointment. What could be better than that? The other tool that's very effective is the podcast. And I have podcasts that I do on my website every month. I'm constantly putting new information up there. And these are really like almost like a mini audio file, if you will. It's like taking a file that has an audio component to it, and I call it mini because it's typically about 7 minutes in length. It's different from a webinar, though, because it's not interactive. It's one way. The beauty of it, though, is that it's information on demand. So you might go to my website, profitablespeech.com. You see the podcast, and you say, oh, gee, I'm really busy. I'm going to be on Think Big Radio, and I don't have time to listen to this now. The good news is you can download it and then archive it to your MP3 player if you wish, and you can take it out with you when you're taking a run, or maybe you want to download it to a CD and pop it in your car when you're on a road trip. So that's the beauty of the electronic communication and the remote communication. But when people cannot see you, that's when you have to use your voice like an instrument. You have to work a little harder to create images, to make your voice dynamic, so that people will want to stay with you.
Big, I'm always learning. I'm learning so much listening to Dale. Dale, I want to ask you, you know, many people know that the saying that people would rather die than to speak in public. And I was going to ask you what could they do about it, but considering what you just said, do you think maybe people who would rather die than speak in public could use some of those kinds of remote communications to avoid speaking in public?
I think the answer to that is yes, that it does give people an alternative. So there's certainly that aspect of it, and I think it was very astute on your part to pick up on that because many people don't even consider that. So certainly that's an option. However, let's understand that even if somebody chooses that as an option, it is still ever more important and incumbent on them to be a really dynamic speaker. And the truth is that many people who have a fear about public speaking really don't understand how to be dynamic. So while they may be more at ease because people can't see them and they can't see people, that really isn't the whole story. And I think people generally have a fear of being judged. That's what the fear of public speaking really is caught up in. And so if I'm conducting a teleclass, or I'm doing a webinar, that fear, in fact, still could be there. It may be lessened, Mary, because I can't see people, and so I can sort of, you know, delude myself into thinking that they're not really there. But if I do that, you see, then I'm not really going to be powerful as a speaker. Does that make sense?
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, because even though I can't see you right now, I am using certain techniques to visualize you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand why that's important to do?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it's really critical. And I'm doing the same thing with Big because he and I have spoken before this evening. So I've not had the privilege of meeting either of the two of you face-to-face, but it doesn't matter. I have my imagination and techniques of visualization. So I actually want to feel like I can see you and I want to feel like you can see me. And you see, if that's the case, then the person who has that significant fear of public speaking may still feel that they can't get past it.
Okay. Well, I just have to comment that Big and I had actually been introduced by someone else, and we worked together and developed a very good working relationship months before we ever met each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we already had images of who the other person would be,
mm-hmm.
but it was really interesting that when we met,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't the visual that spoke the loudest, but as soon as I heard his voice, I said, that's you.
Perfect.
I could definitely connect with that voice.
Perfect.
That's funny. It was just the weirdest thing because we weren't sure who to look for. But the minute I heard her, and you can see the smile in Mary's voice.
You certainly can.
It was like I had always seen that smile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can see how powerful that is because clearly then what the two of you have just, I think, really highlighted is that, in fact, whether it was by design or not, and even if it was natural, that's even better, you do use your voices like instruments. And how beautifully you've played them because they were so distinct to each other.
Very true. Boy, I'll be thinking about this conversation for a while. He knows it takes a lot for me not to have something to say, but I'm really pondering what you're saying. And like you just used that word distinctness.
Mm-hmm.
I find that I am very much attracted to voices. And there's usually something very distinct, to use that word, that would separate one voice from another and that would make me feel comfortable or more, I'd hate to use the word, but I'll use the word intimidated or just a voice that I would like to get to know better, a voice of authority.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different forms, and I don't think we take the time and really talk to ourselves about what that voice is doing. We just feel the impact.
That's right. Nor do we take the time to really listen to ourselves, which
that is true.
May sound like common sense to some people because when we're speaking, we hear ourselves, but you see, that's the difference. Hearing and listening are two completely different skills. And in order to be more effective and have a greater impact on others, we have to really hear ourselves first. And that's also a great fear that many people have. When I ask my clients to record themselves or for me to record them or videotape them, they have tremendous trepidation about seeing themselves and hearing themselves. So many times we're very insulated from how we sound and how we come across. But that's problematic because unless we first have a significant understanding of that, we cannot make changes or modifications.
Well, now, Dale, would you tell me what are some tips that you would be able to give our listeners to improve their day-to-day communication, especially in business? How could they benefit?
There are several techniques and tips, Mary, and I'd be happy to review them now.
Okay.
This is something that I love to speak about because I think it can make a huge difference in the success that we feel, how we feel about the relationships we're building, etc. So, first and foremost is there is one essential skill to being a better speaker, and this may be a little bit of a surprise to some people. I know it is sometimes to my clients when I ask this question, but can only be an effective speaker if you are a great listener. And why are we not great listeners? Because we are in a rush. We are juggling a million priorities. We pride ourselves often on multitasking, and we shouldn't. And so we don't take the time, and actually that's one of the skills, as I'm speaking to you, that I think you really emulate, is that you pause very effectively. It's a great skill, because in that silence, you're not afraid of silence. I find many people are, so we rush to fill it up, which is why we have a hard time listening. But because of the way you pause and take your time, it, first of all, puts me at ease. It also allows the listeners who are tuning in a chance to process and digest information. So rule number one for day-to-day communication is start taking the time to listen to what other people are expressing. And only when someone has completed a thought do you want to then start formulating what you want to say. Oftentimes, we're doing this concurrently while somebody's speaking, and this makes for very poor communication, and this is where breakdowns occur in day-to-day interactions. So that's point number one. I think point number two, and I'll give you 3 points, point number two is that when we are about to give a message to somebody, and that includes calling someone and leaving a voicemail message, mm-hmm. It includes an interview. It could be anything. It could be something as simple, as I say, as leaving a message, or as complex as holding a meeting or being interviewed. It doesn't matter. So point number two is to always anticipate who your audience will be, who will be listening to you, and what are their needs. That's very important. And formulating your message based on that. And the third point to improve day-to-day communication is to always do a check and balance. And by that I mean, after you have conveyed something, you want to check in with the other party to see if, in fact, they really are receiving what you're sending. We can't make the assumption that they do. And there are a number of ways to check that. We can check non-verbally, or we can check verbally. But we don't want to deliver a message and then run. That's not effective. So those are the three things they can do immediately.
You know, I like the third thing that you brought up, because a lot of times, even with text messaging, the way these phones work, you may receive a message from someone and not get it for 2 or 3 hours later. And then when you see them, you know, there might be an issue as to why didn't you take care of this, or, you know, where were you when I sent you the message? So it's always really good to, I believe, just like you said, to follow up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I'm going to quiz big following our interview. I think those tips are just you really pull the essence when, you know, taking the time to listen. And I like the way you said to know what others are expressing, not just what they're saying, but what they're expressing.
Right.
And always anticipating the audience and what their needs are. And then, as Big said, that number three, checking and having a balance to know are the people you're sending your messages to really receiving what you're sending. I thought, you know, his point was very well taken in today's environment, because people just send off tons of messages to 1,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and really could care less if they respond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, this is happening to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The time just gets away. We are down to the last couple of minutes,
mm-hmm.
and I really want to give you a chance to give some closing comments. And I want to know, I got to ask you, though, can we look forward to hearing from you again? Because we really need to continue this conversation.
It would be my privilege. It's an honor. I think this was a delightful experience, and I can't think of two more terrific interviewers than the two of you. You do a wonderful job complimenting one another and setting the stage for people to think big.
Well, thank,
oh, thank
you so much. And we're going to run out of time, but if you could quickly, if you have anyone you would like to thank, I want to give you 10 seconds.
Okay. I think I want to thank my husband, who has been one of my biggest fans, and I think I want to thank the two of you and my clientele, I think, for really valuing what I do and giving me that feedback.
You are listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals.
And
your success makes us successful.
Think big, everyone. Thanks a lot, Dale.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Now, can I ask you a question, Mary?
Yes.
We're no longer on, correct?
No, we are. We have about 30 more seconds.
Oh, we do. Okay. Well, then I would like to mention, if people are interested in improving their personal communication, that I am the co-author of a book called Marriage Magic, Find It, Keep It, and Make It Last. And your listeners can find that on Amazon.com, and they can put in my last name, which is Klein, K-L-E-I-N, or they can put in Marriage Magic, and they will easily find that. And that's a great tool for using everything we talked about tonight, but on a personal level.
I just want to emphasize, be sure to check Amazon.com for the book,
Love
Marriage
Radio.
Magic.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dale.
My pleasure.
We'll be out talking after the show because there could be a possibility we're still live.
Right, so we'll reconnect in a second. Okay, good night.
Good night.